Hello friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. If you recognize that theme song, then you know what time it is. It's time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. And since we're going to talk about Jesus today from the Word of God, what He's done on the cross and what it means to you and what it means to me, we just pray that if you're not a Christian, would you please stay tuned and be our very, very special guest as we gather around the Word of God today together to hear and heed that the Word of God is going to speak to us today. You know, most of us have heard some preacher somewhere, some parts of the Bible quoted, and maybe we heard just with our head, and we never heard it with our heart. And I want you to know today, if you will open your heart to receive the Word of God today, you will find that God will speak to you directly and distinctly through His Word and by His Spirit. I'm depending on that. Amen. I know that I'm going to read from the Scripture. I'm going to talk about the Scripture and teach things from the Scripture. But the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And the Bible said when He comes, He will guide you into all truth. And it goes on to say, if you continue in My Word, you will know the truth, not just intellectually, but experientially. And the truth will make you free. And I want you to know today that whatever is holding you back from that rich, full relationship with God through Christ, that chain, that prison can be opened, that chain can be broken today, and you can be free, friend. Praise God. If you don't know Jesus, the devil will have to let you go. If you decide to walk out of his prison, amen, you can walk away. God's power will break every yoke. Amen. And we just want you to stay tuned. You know, we're living in what I call all of the time to our congregation, the last of the last days. And the Bible said because of the pressure that would be on, the distractions that would be about us in this perilous time that we are living, marked by all kind of outrageous things. If you're listening to the news at all, you can't miss hearing things that just boggle the mind, that shock and take us back. And it's a continuing thing. It's not something that is an aberration, something that happens one time and then it's years before another event occurs. It's things that are being layered back to back to back. And every day we face a new challenge to live with optimism and hope in a world that is filled with death, destruction, deception, so many terrible, terrifying things that are occurring. You know, the Bible said just before the tribulation and during the entering into the great tribulation period that men's hearts would fail them for fear and for looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. These are not phobias, unfounded fears. These are absolute credible concerns. The Bible said there would also be distress of nations with perplexity. That all of the great thinkers and all of the most intelligent, all of the most educated men and women working together in concert still can't find solutions for the crisis that is occurring, that is worldwide. Well, that is why the Word of God becomes so vital and so important to us. And that is why that keeping our focus, keeping our heart and mind centered upon Christ, amen, and upon the Word of God is so important to our victory today, amen. So we're going to be talking about staying Christ-centered in a world filled with trouble, distraction, deception, and discouragement. Today we're going to give you words of comfort for a world of trouble. Praise God. There is a psalm that we have been reading this teaching from. It's Psalm 46. I call it a centering psalm. because in the midst of all the tumult and trouble, it tells us that if we stay focused in faith and trust upon our God, that we will not be shaken, we will not be fearful, even in these fearful times. And it says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Now I want to stop right there before we read verse 5, and then we read verse 11 in particular. Listen to what it says. Well, let's read 5, 7, and 11 after that to make this particular point. Number one, God is our refuge. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. God is our strength. Amen. The Lord is the strength of my life, the psalmist said. Of whom should I be afraid? The apostle Paul said in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But he's not only our refuge and our strength, he's a very present help in trouble. Recognizing when trouble comes and it shakes us and it touches us so deeply that our emotions are rocked by the trouble that can befall faulty people in a fallen world. Friend of mine, I want you to know God, if you're a Christian, God is with you. Even when it seems that he is so distant and we question, where are you, Lord, when I need you? Well, he is in the midst of his people. He is with us, keeping his covenant promise, just like he said. Praise God. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst of her. This is the reason that we cannot be fearful in the midst of such calamity. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. Verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. There it is again. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And the reason that we run to him is because we recognize his nearness, his presence with us. Amen. And verse 11 says, the Lord of hosts is with us again. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord is with us, a very present help in time of trouble. Wherever you are, God is. Whatever crisis you are facing, God is near. He's right there with you. He doesn't leave or turn his focus elsewhere when the times get tough and when you can't sense him, see him, or feel him. He's there. Amen. In Hebrews 13:5, God promises, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The Greek in this passage has five negatives, so it literally reads, I will not leave thee, neither will I not forsake thee. In other words, in this text, God emphasizes over and over and over and over again, he will not forsake us. I will never, no, never forsake you. Amen. He won't leave us alone. He wants us to grasp firmly this great truth that no matter what circumstances may indicate, we can know that he will not leave us to the mercy of those circumstances. Amen. This is so important. Amen. And today, I ask you to examine your own life. Ask yourself, what do I fear more? Whose power do I respect more? The power of a loving Heavenly Father or the power of this crisis that I'm facing? Remember, as I quoted earlier, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 27:1 declares, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We need to ask ourselves this question today and be honest with our answer. Am I responding to the inevitable trials of life based on my feelings of fear and worry and concern and anxiety, or on what the Bible says we can know about God? Am I standing on His promises, or am I floundering on my feelings? Am I responding to the trustworthiness of God by placing my trust in Him? You see, God can't be a refuge for you unless you put your trust in Him. He is our refuge, but you won't be able to enjoy or employ that reality unless you decide to put your trust in Him. That's why the psalmist said, "How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore, the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of Your wings." Ah, friend, sometimes I feel when the troubles come and the trials come and the test comes, and I feel in the middle of the calamity and the crisis and the chaos of the moment, I feel like, where's God? But I have to go back and let my faith and trust rest upon the fact, not the feeling. And the fact is, God is very near. He's not just a help. He's a very present help. Closer than you think, closer than you feel or sense, God draws near when the trouble comes. I want to say that again. God draws very near when the trouble comes. Most of the time we're so emotionally distraught, so mentally confused sometimes when it all begins to happen and the chaos and calamity comes, that we don't recognize the nearness of our God and His presence with us. But He wants us to return our focus to Him. That's why the Bible said, lay aside every sin in the New Covenant, the New Testament, and wait that does so easily beset us, and run with perseverance, patience, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God. Consider Him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your own mind. Ah, friend, today, if God loved you enough to give you His only begotten Son, that was Paul's argument in the New Testament, because sometimes the circumstances cry out, if God loved you, why is this happening? If God loved you, why did He permit that or allow that? And we have to come back to the cross and to Christ dying for us on the cross. For the Apostle Paul said, if God loved us enough to give us His only begotten Son, how shall He not with Him also give us all things? Everything that we need to get through this fallen world and to enter into His kingdom of grace and love and have His provision for us during this interim between time and eternity. Ah, friend, hallelujah. We need to keep our focus upon Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us at Calvary, and accept that God loves us, and let nothing shake us from that great truth and that great fact. God loves you even when the trouble comes. He understands, and He draws near even when you can't sense Him and you can't feel Him. As of old, a Roman had to but say, Romanus sum, which means I am a Roman, and he could claim the protection of all the legions of that vast empire. So everyone who believes in Jesus Christ has God's omnipotent power and strength, praise God, as his guardian. And God would sooner, and this is what C.H. Spurgeon said, God would sooner empty heaven of angels than leave a saint undefended. Praise God. I like that. I'm going to say that again. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. C.H. Spurgeon said, Christ and His omnipotence is the guardian of the Christian. And God would sooner empty heaven of angels than leave a saint without defense. Psalm 95, verse 1 through 7 bears this out. And it simply says, Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the flock under His care. Praise God. Hallelujah. Today, if you hear His voice, if you hear Him speaking to you, you may be in a place today where you feel like that God has abandoned you, or you feel like God can't reach you, not where you are. But I want you to know that there's nothing impossible with God, and God knows exactly how to reach out to you, to sustain you in the midst of the most impossible circumstances of life. God knows where you are. God knows how to deliver you. And God's hand is not short that it cannot save. And when you come to Christ as your Savior, sin is no longer a barrier between you and the help and the grace and the love that you need to pull you through anything. Praise God. On a Sunday afternoon, I'm going to tell you and read you this true account. On a Sunday afternoon, this is way back years ago, but this is such a testimony. On a Sunday afternoon, June the 1st, 1975, a man by the name of Darrell Dorr was on an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. Suddenly it wobbled, tipped to one side, and crashed into the sea. Darrell was trapped inside a room on the rig as the rig sank deeper and deeper into the sea. The lights went out, the room began to fill with water, thrashing about in the darkness. Darrell accidentally found a huge air bubble that was forming in the corner of the room. He thrust his head inside it. Then a horrifying thought sent a shiver down his spine. I'm buried alive. Darrell began to pray out loud. As he did, something remarkable happened, he said later. I found myself actually talking to someone. Jesus was there with me. There was no illumination, nothing physical, but I sensed Him, a comforting presence. He was real. He was there. For the next 22 hours, that presence continued to comfort and give hope to Darrell. But now the oxygen supply inside the bubble was giving out. Death was inevitable. It was just a matter of time. Then a remarkable thing happened. Darrell saw a tiny strand of light shimmering in the pitch black water. Was it real? Or after 22 hours and lack of oxygen, was he beginning to hallucinate? Darrell squinted his eyes. The light seemed to grow brighter. He squinted again. He wasn't hallucinating. The light was real. It was coming from a diver's helmet. Someone had found him. His 22-hour nightmare was over. Rescue had come. He was saved. That true story is a remarkable illustration of what Christ is all about and how He can keep His promise to come to you, to come to me, into our sin-darkened, hopeless, fallen world where death imposed its absolute authority and terror. Our Savior came to save us. Hallelujah. Born in a manger in Bethlehem, and all the people who sat in darkness suddenly saw a great light. Praise God. Amen. Listen, friend, I want you to know today that you may be feeling as trapped and hopeless and helpless as Daryl Dorr. See, he didn't know for sure whether he was hallucinating or not when he saw that little glimmer of light in that dark water. But one thing he was certain of when he couldn't see anything at all, and that is that God was near him and God was with him. You got to see this. It wasn't when he saw that light that he questioned. Amen. He questioned that. Amen. But he did not question the presence that was giving him comfort. He knew who it was without seeing anyone. He said, Jesus was near me. I could sense him. I knew he was there. For 22 hours, he sustained him with his presence. God, our God, is a very present help in the time of trouble. Praise God. Friend of mine, I don't think you can be in a more hopeless situation in the physical sense of it than Daryl Dorr in that overturned oil rig in that little compartment where a corner of it had enough oxygen to sustain him for almost an entire day and night before rescue came. One thing he questioned, can this be real? When the rescue showed up, how did they get to me way down here? But one thing was not questionable at all, and that is that God drew near to him. Christ came to him in that deep, dark, hopeless, helpless circumstance of his life and gave him courage and strength. Now, I don't know where you are in life. I don't believe I'm speaking to anyone that's in an overturned oil rig in the deep, dark water. But I'm telling you, your circumstances of life can put you into a place mentally and emotionally where you have those feelings of absolute trapped with no way out hopelessness. This is why the suicide rate is so high, particularly among young people full of life and hope and ambition, and yet having it all crushed by circumstances that they cannot cope with. Oh, how we need to know that our God is drawing near to help us and to be with us and to give us courage, grace, and strength to deliver us, yes, but before deliverance even occurs, to come and comfort us with His very presence today. Heaven may seem brash. God may seem so distant right now. But I declare to you by the Word of God that He is a very present help in the time of trouble. God knows exactly where you are, and He will come to you today right where you are. There's no doubt about it. He loves you enough to give His only Son upon the cross. This was Paul's argument. If God loved us, those of us who question His love when the circumstances come, and why would He allow this? Why would He allow that? And we question His love. Friend of mine, we live in a fallen world. We live in a faulty body, but we have a faithful Father. We have a faithful Father. Sin and Satan has brought the heartache and the heartbreak that we see all around us in this world. But we have a God who says, I know what you're facing. I know what you're going through. And he draws near. He doesn't draw back. He draws near. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. That's why, after declaring God is our refuge and strength, the reason that we run to Him, that we lean on Him, that we look to Him, is because we accept the fact that the God of Jacob is with us. And that is the message that Jesus gave those very fearful disciples after seeing Him nailed to the cross as a lamb dumb before his shearers. He opened not his mouth. He appeared weak and helpless, but he was in fact fulfilling this great mission to this planet to die on the cross that sinners like me and you might be forgiven and be reconciled unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. And on the third day he arose from the dead, and when he entered into the room where those cowardly, discouraged disciples were, that were going to be the vanguard of the gospel to the world, what did he say to them? What did he say that gave them courage? Number one, they saw that death couldn't conquer him. But number two, he said, go into all the world now and preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I am with you. Hallelujah. Even unto the end of the age. And they took courage in the fact that God would be with them. Christ would be with them. No matter what they faced, God was going to be there, a present help, very present help in the time of trouble. Praise God. Friend of mine, today I don't know you personally. I can't. And it seems that there's something impersonal in just you hearing a voice on the radio. But I want you to know another voice, I believe, is speaking to you right now. And it's the voice of God by the Holy Spirit. And He's saying to you today, there is no place in life that my love can't reach you. There's no circumstance in life that my power cannot deliver you from. And today, God is drawing very near to you. Someone in particular, God is drawing so very near to you. He will embrace you. He will uphold you, the scripture said, with the right hand of His righteousness. But you've got to reach out by faith to Him and put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. God is reaching down. Would you reach up today? God is reaching down to save you today if you don't know Jesus. God is reaching down to you today. By faith, reach up to Him. Repent of your sin and reach out to God and say, Lord, forgive me. I receive your Son as my Savior, my Lord, my Master, Jesus Christ. Call upon Him today in the name of Jesus. If you're a Christian today, you're in a deep, dark valley. God loves you today. God is drawing very near to you right now. His hand is extended. His grace is sufficient. The Lord God of Jacob is with us. Just reach out to Him. Just reach up to Him. He's reaching way down for you. Well, our time is gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?